Proverbs 31 this morning, Proverbs chapter 31. Try to pick up where I left off last week, and I didn't mess too much with it this week. I didn't want to fool around with it and mess up. I thought we had a very good spirit last week. Amen. And if I messed with it too much, I'd probably change something. I didn't want to change anything. So we used a little bit rude last week. Well, trying to match the opposing view. When the opposing view has been given on this, it's usually done with hatefulness. You know, you women, you... So I just want to return it in like kind, amen? And that's what you're supposed to do. Fight fire with fire, they say, amen? So that's the way I'm looking at that. And a lot of things got thrown on the fire this week. A lot of stuff we could talk about this morning. But I'll try to refrain from doing that. If I do, I get plumb mad. Yeah. Amen. And now, a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. And of course, if you've been reading your Bible, you would have probably expected some of this stuff to show up. No doubt about that. Of course, if you really naive, if you're real naive, you might think there's a bunch of racial stuff going on in the world, but there's not. It's a bunch of foolishness going on in the world. And so, Brother Mike, I want you to stand in unison. No, I ain't standing in unison with nobody. Amen. Just Christians. Yep. Amen. Amen. Not joining the Moose Lodge this week.
Amen.
Won't be joining the Mormons or any other social clubs. Is Mormons a social club? Sure they are. Mooses, Mormons, Elks, Masons, bunch of clubs, amen? Yep. And so no political movements this week, not standing up for Donald Trump. Amen. Don't like him, wonderful, all this stuff, but it's time to stop standing up for that kind of stuff. Amen. It's time to get busy. It's time to start preaching. Amen. Amen. It's time to start witnessing. And it's time to start vocalizing some things. I'm talking about don't just believe things or agree with things. And that's what most people do anyway. I think I've said that before, so I won't repeat myself too much. Most Christians are just agreeers. They're not believers. If somebody happens to say, I believe in Jesus, you'll say, oh, me too. But if they tell a dirty joke, you'll also laugh. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So you're just an agreeer. You're not a believer. Yeah. Amen. And for some reason, that reminds me to say it's time to come back to church.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you're sickly or elderly and you're still afraid of coronavirus, feel free to watch at home. But if you're going to work every day, come to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. If you don't, you need to get right with the Lord.
That's
amen.
Amen.
Amen. I told you I'm a little bit on edge. Amen. I probably should have took a Valium or something before I came to church. But I'm not a dope head. That's the way you do things. I told Ruth, I said for the next couple of weeks, I'll just probably vent.
Yeah. There you go.
Amen.
Amen.
And so if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. Amen. I better move on or I'll get on this foolishness that's going on and we'll be talking about it for a couple hours, which it wouldn't hurt to call them out on some of this foolishness. If you still believe that it's a racial issue, you're an idiot.
Yep. Yep.
You're an idiot. There is a culture war been going on in this country for years and years and years, and it's against Christianity. It's not against whites or blacks or men or women. If you've fallen into this equal rights argument, you're an idiot.
Yep.
You say, well, all these black people are really getting treated bad. White people getting treated bad. Chinese people getting treated bad. You could just say people are getting treated bad because we live in a sinful world full of idiots.
Amen. Amen.
And if you think one person's got it as bad as another, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to CNN and Fox News too long. You need to sit down and read your Bible.
Sure.
And find out that the wages of sin is death. It's been killing human beings since Adam and Eve was on this earth. And the problem is sin.
Yep.
And the problem is preachers stop preaching against sin. And now all they got to do, they jump on every bandwagon that comes down the street.
Amen. You're right.
Amen. Yep. I've heard all the popular preachers come out and say, now we white people need to quit being racist. You need to shut up and let somebody else pastor that church.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Just leave it lying and do what you ought to do as a Christian.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yep.
And then let me say this. If you feel like you've been treated wrongly by somebody, move on.
Yeah.
Move on. Yeah. The most powerful people on earth, I don't care who they are or what they do, the most powerful people on earth don't give a rip what anybody thinks about them. That's good or bad, positive or negative. You know, when Adolf Hitler come to power, he could give a rip less what the Jews thought about it.
Yep.
That's a very extreme example, and it's a wrong example. Adolf Hitler, no way, shape, or form was correct. But you don't get to power in any position in any way by worrying about what somebody else thinks about you. You just don't do it. If somebody's been prejudiced against you, move on. You don't need them. Amen? I better move on. I'm telling you, I better move on before I keep venting. Amen? Don't want to vent. I want to preach. Amen? But there'll be time for it. If the Lord don't come back, we'll be back next week. I'll give you five more minutes worth. Amen? All right, let's move on. Let me pray right here, and we'll get into this Proverbs 31. My opinion hadn't changed from last week, by the way. Amen. And we'll recap here in just a minute. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and your grace. Feel a little bit anxious this morning, kind of like a horse pulling against the bit. I pray you'd help me. Lord, I do want to have a clear mind and a clear conscience and want to be able to say some things that are not only true, but comprehensible. Lord, I want people to comprehend what I say and understand what I say, and I pray you'd help me with that. Have mercy on us, O God, because we stand in need of you. We're very much sinners. We're very much sinful people and fallible. And I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd help us to get our hearts in the right places, our minds in the right places. And Lord, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And Lord, though the devil and his angels and his politicians and his preachers try to magnify the wrong thing, God, I pray you'd help us to magnify the right thing in our hearts, your word, your will, your spirit. I pray you'd help us, oh God, and I thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. 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 I said, Brother Mike, you probably have better results if you'd be a little bit nicer. Well, we've been trying that way since back in the 60s, and look where we're at. Amen. So I'm going to just disregard it. Now, I do try. I do make a concerted effort to not say everything that comes out of my brain. Amen. You've got to have some sort of a filter. Mine's not too good. But looking at the way things, you know, some preachers have pulled me aside and given me advice about doing it this way or doing it that way. But I'm going to just disregard that from now on. And when push comes to shove, you just get together and vote me out. I guess. I don't know. That'd be about the way you'd have to do it. But just pray about it before you do that, all right? Proverbs chapter 31, and that's just fair warning. Now when you come next week and get offended, you were told beforehand. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. Last week we were talking about what women can do. And a lot of times when you hear a sermon about this topic, it's what women cannot do. And I've heard that sermon many times, and I've always heard it, and I've always, you know, heard it preached by men who were very proud about their, you know, position and very adamant about the fact that they was in charge of everything. But the biggest thing that I always noticed about folks who come along those lines, they're not very secure. And usually fuss with their wife at home all the time. If you're such in charge, what's all the arguments about?
Yeah.
One thing I learned a long time ago, and I hadn't always practiced it, but I learned it a long time ago, is leaders don't have to argue about who's in charge. That's why they're leaders. Yeah. Now, usurpers have to argue about who's in charge.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Amen. Do with that what you will. But a lot of times, you know, what you're really getting is folks trying to convince themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
That plays in a lot of different fields across a broad spectrum, is that the person that's really, really bitter about things like that, especially when it comes to the home or when it comes to finances, that's the people that really are trying to convince themselves. Amen? If you got the Bible on it, and if you know what's right and you know what's true, then it's a blessed way of being. It's a blessed way of existing. Amen? You just know what the truth is, put it out there, and let the chips fall where they may. Amen? It's not something you got to get bitter about. Amen? And I have fun with it. I mean, I really do. Because it'll work in almost every area of thought. You know, just get up in front of a bunch of folks who say they're Christians and talk about anything, and pretty soon you'll see who gets mad.
Yep.
Test it out sometime. Try to, if you don't mind talking about Jesus and Christianity and stuff like that, just call it out. Amen? Get up in a crowd like this and say something about the gap theory, you'll see right away who believes it and who has a problem. What's the problem? It's true. Okay. Amen. From time to time, I'm tempted to preach a sermon on how you can lose your salvation just to watch people come apart. He said, Brother Mike, don't you believe you can keep your salvation? Yeah, I believe it, but I'm talking about having fun now. I'm not talking about none of that. He said, well, I always want to be doctrinally correct. I know you do. I know you do. Amen. I understand. But at any rate, let's look at this subject here this morning before we lose all of our time, have to spend another week on it. Amen. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. A virtuous woman. We talked about last week, she's powerful. And that's what the word means. Virtue means power. You might think it means morality because that's kind of what the word has been twisted around to mean. Of course, it takes virtue to be moral. It takes virtue to be disciplined. It takes virtue to resist temptation. It takes strength. So the definition is, because that's what virtue produces, morality, principle, discipline, because that's what virtue produces, we usually use its results as the definition. But virtue is just power. That's what it is. I gave you the example last week of a woman who had seen all the doctors and they couldn't help her. And then she grabbed a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed. And Jesus said, I felt virtue leave my body. And so that's what healed her. His power healed her. And that's what virtue is. It's power. And so you hear in the modern day, you always hear them use that terminology, a powerful woman. Now, a lot of times when they talk about a powerful woman, they're talking about somebody that's left a responsibility and being used as a wrong example. I understand. Well, you may as well get used to it. Right now, the devil is often going to use right terminology to teach wrong things. Amen. Yeah. No question about that. So I'm not afraid of the terminology. I'm going to use the term liberal here in just a minute. Now, I'm not a liberal in the sense of being political, but liberal is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some of you don't even know that because you've been listening to Lester. You've been listening to Rush Limbaugh instead of Lester Roloff, and you think liberal is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Liberal is a good thing. Yeah. If you ain't careful, if you're liberal, you'll be fat. That's what the Bible says. Liberal souls will be made fat. But liberal just means you give. You're willing to give. You're open. You're accessible. You're willing to give and help. That's what liberal means. Now, what these people in Washington are, they're not liberals. They're progressive, communists, socialists, devils, wicked, sorry, low down, good for nothing, reprobate. That's what they are. I could think of some more words, but I might be tempted to say a curse word or two, so I'm going to stop right there before I go too far.
Amen.
But it felt good to say. You should try it sometime. Amen. It makes you feel good to say what you think. How many of you know that?
Amen.
But then some of you are only brave enough to say some of the stuff you really want to say to your wife or to your husband.
Yeah.
Ain't that true? And it kind of mystifies me. I thought about this before, and I tried to change my actions and my attitudes a little bit after that. Somebody you don't hardly know, you'll be nice to, and if they offend you, you won't say nothing to them. And if they do something wrong to you, you won't call them out on it. But your wife or your husband, who you're supposed to love, you dog them right out.
Yeah, come on.
And probably do it in front of everybody and embarrass them. And make fun of them, make light of them, hurt their feelings. You sorry old dog. One of these days I hope she punches you right in the nose. And if you punch her back, I'll let Jesse Craigle beat the daylights out of you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You say, Jesse can't see. I bet it hurt if he hit you. Especially if I got Ben back there to hold you down. Amen? I'd like to see it, some of you. Amen. A virtuous woman. There is such a thing as a powerful woman. Amen? And you might wonder, why would I preach something like this? Well, first of all, the Lord told me to. And second of all, I mentioned it last week, and I mentioned a little bit, the devil gets people off on these arguments and takes up a lot of our time with just falsehood and foolishness, spend so much time trying to defend wrong positions that you miss a lot of stuff in life that you wouldn't otherwise miss. The Bible says that as a husband and a wife, you're heirs together of the grace of life. And a lot of you ruin it just by trying to inspect and make sure each other doesn't enjoy more rights than you're worthy of or something like that. I don't know what's wrong with that. What in the world's wrong with you anyway? What's wrong with people? That going through a list of rights that each other's worthy of. You can't do that. You can't do that. Mind your own business. People get tore out of the frame over stuff like, he ain't supposed to be doing that. Shut up.
Amen.
If they don't live in your house and you were so worried about it, pray for them. If they break into your house, shoot them.
Yeah.
And the only reason, you say, Brother Mike, see when you say stuff like that, police officers have been fired this week because they said if somebody breaks into your home during all this rioting, shoot them. And they lost their job for that. Somebody has lost their ever-loving mind. If somebody breaks into your house, shoot them. If they break into your neighbor's house, if you like them real good, go help them. Three doors down, mind your own business. Hey, man, that's about far enough. You got to start minding your business someplace.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you are still worried about those people in China. Did you see the condition of their food market? Shut up!
Yeah.
You don't care about that kind of stuff. People get bent out of shape out of stuff happening in China because the reason people get bent out of shape over stuff happening in China is because you're not doing what you're supposed to do in your own neighborhood. So feeling bad about something that's happening in California or Seattle helps you ease your conscience a little bit. Mm-hmm. You want to do something to help somebody out? Go witness to your neighbor. Help him cut his grass. Give him some grocery money. Don't tell me you care about somebody in Africa or China or Japan when you don't give a rip about the person that lives next door to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That cuts out a lot of national news right there, doesn't it?
Sure.
It sure does. I told you it's going to be rough to get through this. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. A good woman got a big price tag. Oh, you're going to hear some strange things this morning. Hey, ladies, if you've been brought up right, you're doing the right thing, don't sell out cheap.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, if a woman has, the Bible says if a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Amen. Some folks have got good wives and treat them like a $30 set of spoke wheels. That's true.
Amen.
Oh, it's such a wonderful day. Such a wonderful day.
You're all right.
I know. Mm-hmm. Her price is far above rubies. She's worth more than that attitude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we, if I was preaching from the opposite way, your husband's probably worth more than you think he is. Appreciate that testimony. There's one or two of you worthless men around, but I'll tell you, we're never going to, all you folks worried about this country ain't never going to get fixed till it has some good Christian homes in it. It ain't never going to happen. Never going to happen. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me slow down here a little bit. Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I didn't apply it to the verse. But I do want to give you these verses, lest you think I've made it up. You know, I told you last week, and it's still going to happen, no matter if I covered my bases or not. Somebody's going to go out, you know, saying, well, Brother Mike don't understand. That's Old Testament. And the New Testament, she's just supposed to be a chaste keeper at home and all this stuff right here. Well, you look here. What usually happens is, if I don't keep, you know, if I don't keep this woman under my thumb, you know, she's going to get out and she's going to do all this stuff. Well, what you should have done before you got married was found a trustworthy woman.
Yeah. Well,
amen. What you did is, I'm just assuming this because of men's Baptists, not just men, saved Baptists in that order, saved Baptist husbands and preachers treat women this way and think about women this way. What you did was you went out and you got anything you could catch. And then after you caught her and married her, you tried to apply all these biblical principles to her.
Right.
What you should have done was applied the biblical principles to the one you was trying to catch.
Yeah.
And if she didn't measure up, move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Well, she was awful pretty. Well, pretty don't work out much good when it comes to attitude and trustworthiness.
Right.
Just like biceps, ladies. If you're going to marry biceps, that's about all you're going to get. Except for at least one of these days, they're going to come from up here, and they're going to be hanging down here. And these ones up here are going to fall down into the belly. And that's all you're going to be left with. Hopefully, there's some morality. You just have a fat moral man.
Amen.
Amen. Don't worry, I'm not going to say anything about fat, moral women. Not going to talk about anything like, well, we're going to get close. We're going to get close. But I'll give you scripture for it. I promise you that. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. You see that? We're talking about a virtuous woman, not just a hag. They are some of those around. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. But the same can be said about men. Amen. See, if you, talk bad about women. Well, see, I can talk bad about anybody. We can talk bad about anybody. We can find a bad example. But what we're really talking about, and while we're talking about it, we'll try to encourage some folks to be trustworthy. We're talking about a powerful woman. No doubt there's weak women, but there's hope for you.
Yep.
If you don't come up to some of these standards that's listed in the chapter, you can change. Amen? And just like some of your husbands that don't appreciate your wife, you can change that.
Amen.
You got her to like you one time, you could probably do it again. Yeah. Amen. Yep. Well, what business is it yours, Brother Mike? God put it in the book. Yeah. Ain't that right? If the Lord didn't want me to preach on it, he wouldn't have wrote chapter 31.
Amen.
Amen. Have a wonderful time. Amen. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need to spoil. Good wife keep you from stealing. I know that's true. I know I've got a good wife and she's kept me from getting in fights. And sure. Amen. There's been a couple of times she wasn't nowhere around and I could have got into some trouble, but I thought, no, my wife wouldn't think good of me if I did that.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. I mean, I don't really want things to be so lopsided. I'm not a great person, and lots of bad negative qualities. I've got them. You've got them. We've all got them. But from time to time, I say, well, if I did that, the balance would be way off. I mean, the balance is already kind of like this. As far as I'm concerned, my wife, you know, kind of up here. I'm down here a little bit. And from time to time, I've thought, well, I'll do this. And I thought, well, then it would shift over. I better not do that. Amen. So have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's what I'm talking about, that trustworthiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Boy, that takes a load off your mind, don't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So when my wife leaves the house, I don't say, what are you wearing that for? Who you trying to impress by wearing that?
Yeah.
You, dummy. You.
Yeah. Amen.
Does that make sense to anybody but me? Well, I don't think. Yeah, I guess you just give her an old Amish rug to wear.
Amen.
I guess. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, let's get into verse 13, what women can do. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Virtuous woman, a strong woman, she's a worker.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. Now, there are those folks that would say, you know, a woman's supposed to just stay at home and do this or that. Well, if there's plenty of work to do around the house, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. If you choose to work at home, nothing wrong with that at all. Remember, this sermon is not what women have to do. This sermon is what women can do. Now, before we go any further with this sermon, here is a wonderful idea. Why don't you and your wife or you and your husband sit down and calmly make a plan? This is what we're going to do. This is what we can do. And then find out what you're going to do. Now, you may have the power to do it, but this is the way to start friction right here. I'm not going to walk all the way over there to my wife, so I'm going to use April as an example. Don't punch me, because I don't mean this at all. You're going to do this right now. That's the way to start friction right there. Sit down. Treat one another with respect. Figure out what you're going to do. Oh, you're going to go to work? You're going to work at home? And then you can ask your wife the same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of men are being stay-at-home moms this day and time.
Yeah.
But why not just sit down and talk it out? Hey, men, if you want to stay at home, put diapers on the babies, let the woman go to work, help yourself. I particularly am not going to do that. But if that's what you want to do, hey, what do I care? Ain't none of my business. If that's what you're going to do, do that. But sit down and discuss it. But when you start saying, you ain't going to do that, you're going to have problems. Ladies, when your man says, I'm going to go buy me a gun, you say, you ain't doing that. You're going to have problems. Mm-hmm. It's going to work both ways.
Yep.
Yeah, remember, again, you're heirs together of the grace of life.
Yep.
And I read you the verse last week about men treating your wife according to wisdom and knowledge and all this kind of stuff like that. It's a relationship.
Yep.
Being married. It's a relationship. You got to learn how to relate. You see, that's in relationship, relate. When one side, either side, begins to say, this is the way it is. Now, I realize at certain points that you're going to have to be the leader of the household if you're a man. And certain things are going to happen. Now, if your wife starts running off to the disco every night.
Yeah.
See, I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking about a basic general outlook about your home that a lot of people, frankly, Baptist Christians, don't have right.
Amen.
Amen. Let's move on. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. So she got to get out of the house once in a while.
Yeah.
From afar. Darling, I'm going to let you leave the house once or twice this week. Don't go more than a mile. But no, she bringeth her food from afar. She's going to have to get out of the house and do some business. Amen. Now, I only mention that. I'm going to move on from that verse. I only mention it, but we're going to come back to it. Now, but before you get too, you know, thinking too far in one direction. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maids. What does verse 15 say? Verse 15 says she's a chaste keeper at home. Now, take it for what it's worth, but if you're a woman and you're going to, and if you got a husband, now if you ain't got a husband and children, just, you know, do what you want, I guess. But if you got a husband, and if you got children, and if you're going to have a job outside of the home, it does not relieve you of the responsibilities that you have at home.
Amen.
You might have to get, as you get down through the chapter, right here it says she gets up early.
Right.
She gets up early and gets the stuff done that she has to get done before she goes out. And then you get to a later portion in the chapter here, and she's up all night. How many of you ladies don't get no sleep? Well, you're a Proverbs 31 lady. It's just what you've always wanted. All these Christian teenage girls, I wish the teenagers were in here this morning. I want to be a Proverbs 31 lady. You're not going to get no sleep. Are you sure this is the direction you want for your life? You're not going to get no sleep. Amen? And men, you're not going to get any either.
Yep.
Vacuum cleaner's going to wake you up and dogs barking because your father-in-law comes at the wrong time. Amen. I hope you heard that. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now those maidens, it could be her daughters. Could be some servants. This woman, pretty powerful. She got money. She can hire some employees. Amen. But she's a provider for them. You see, this isn't just a woman that's captivated inside the kitchen. This woman, she has maids. She's providing for them. She's not just providing for her kids and for her husband. She got maids. Pretty good, ain't it?
Yep.
Amen. Wish my wife would get some maids. Amen. Well, I got three girls. Amen. Says she considereth the field and buyeth it. She's in the real estate business.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see that? Now we're getting to it. A woman can get a job.
Yep.
You know, something strikes me, and I thought about this when I first got married. And looking around at folks' situations, stuff like this, you know, you hear people say they have this problem or that problem and this problem and that problem. You know, a lot of Baptist folk, you know, they try to fit into the mold. They try to do, you know, what people said, you know, and this is not a bad thing. Preachers preach messages and, you know, you try to fit yourself in there and try to discipline yourself to do things the way the preacher said to do it. And a lot of Baptist households live without some things that they should have because a man says, I'm going to provide for this household right here. But you're doing without a lot of things that your wife could make up for. And he said, well, I don't think it's that way. Well, I don't care what you think. The book. Yeah. The book says she's out doing this and she's out doing that. She's making money. She's winning some of the bread. So, well, I'm the breadwinner. Well, I like to eat more than just bread, don't you? I like to have a few pieces of bacon every once in a while to go with my bread.
Amen.
Well, you got two people, able-bodied. A woman can go to work if she wants to. She can't neglect her responsibilities just like you men can't. Listen at that. And the devil told me, there's no need to preach this. You can skip on. There is a need for it.
Yeah.
Listen, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in this country that are living in poverty because the devil at some point in time wanted, this is the perception, the devil wanted to get women out of the house and get them into the workplace. And the response was a wrong response. No. The woman's just supposed to stay at home all the time. And that become a part of society in America to where now, whereas at least in biblical times, both people were contributing to the household. Now you're just trying to do it with one person. Oh, she's just supposed to cook. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But right here it is. Look, she said, it says, she considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands, not the fruit of her husband's hands. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. You know that takes money to do? Well, we're planting maybe 20 by 20 plot of ground. It takes money. It takes money to do that. You're talking about buying the ground and planting a vineyard? It takes money, and it's from the fruit of her own hands. Listen, a woman can have her own money. Well, I disagree. Well, you're disagreeing with God. Right there it is in the book. See, now it worked out. I wanted to get all this done last week, but it worked out so wonderfully last week that we ended right at the part where we were coming into Proverbs 31. So all the naysayers had all week, and I guarantee you that there was some fellas looking at Proverbs 31 real close this past week. What's he going to say? And some folks laid out this morning because they read it for themselves. What I've been thinking this whole time doesn't hold up. Well, Brother Mike, you know if these women get out, they'll be floozies. Well, you see, we're talking about different people.
Yeah.
We're talking, and listen, there's plenty of men that's been floozies because they got out of the household too.
Yeah.
I think I'll preach right there for about 5 or 10 minutes. You can't sit around and say that somebody can't leave the house because of somebody else's record of having left the house and got into trouble. You just can't do that. Because I'll tell you what, if you want to go, if that's the direction you want to go, let's talk about fellas. While a woman's at home with three kids and you're out running around for God knows how long doing God knows what.
Yeah.
Now you just sit there looking at me like that. You sorry buzzard. You're the one that needs to be restricted to the house.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to act. Oh, she, and a lot of that, well, if she got out, she'd probably do this. You're probably talking about you. I don't. There's a word for that, but I don't remember what it is. I don't even care what it is. But it's something that you know you would do, so you're going to make her guilty of it. And what was your argument again? What was you? Yeah. What was you gonna? You ain't got no argument. You, I'm telling the truth.
Yes, sir.
This is right.
Yep.
It's right.
Yep.
Don't care what you or your preacher said. That's right.
Amen.
Reading your Bible, not giving you my opinion. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. A bunch of Baptist men won't let their wife do something because they know what they would do if they had that opportunity.
Yep.
You're going to realize, like I realize, at some point you'll realize, maybe you'll be dumb enough to die in your stupidity, but at some point you're going to realize the same thing I realized. I married up. I married a better person than I am.
Amen.
And a lot of you folks are going to realize that one of these days, and hopefully it's not too late.
Yep.
Amen. Maybe she'll divorce you or something. I don't recommend divorce, but I wouldn't marry you. Maybe that's a little too straight. I don't know. Verse 17. Well, we talked about 16 long enough. I'm running out of time. What do I got? 10 up. Oh, got 5 minutes. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I guess you got a gym membership. I'm going to leave that one completely alone. Your loins is between your ribs and your hip bones. I looked that up. I guess you're doing sit-ups or something. Help yourself. Do what you want to do. Amen? I'm very tempted to say, but I'm going to move on. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. I think I've said all I need to say in this sermon. I'm going to just... finish reading the scripture and we won't go home, but we'll go to the morning service. She layeth her hands to the spindles and her hands hold the distaff. She's a craftsman. And I want you to read through this maybe on your own time and see how many times it says that she does something like this, because the idea of a craftsman shows up several times in this passage. A lot of you ladies, whether you know it or not, you probably know how to do something that you could make money at where you wouldn't have to be the CEO of Apple in order to make a few dollars, which you don't need to be. You don't need to be the president of the company. You don't need to spend 70 hours a week away from your children. You don't need that in order to be successful. You don't need that. All you need to do is just do something that's productive, and that's what this lady's doing. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. She's liberal. She's a giver. She's not a taker. She's a giver. And boy, that'll go a long ways right there. If you could marry a woman that's willing to give, that's good. That's good. Ruth, from time to time, will say, I want to give so-and-so this. And sometimes she just does it without saying what she's going to do. Amen. Well, in a marriage, you got to figure that money thing out.
Yep.
Amen. Yep. It's kind of like Baptists when they give money, they put money in the offering plate, and then they come back 3 weeks later. Well, what did we do with that money? You know, I've never thought that, not one time. I've been in church since 1974. We learned to tithe when I was a little boy. If you made $24 in a week working in a tobacco field, you tithe that. And that's just what we learned. But you know, I never have thought afterwards, wonder what we're doing with that money. Because it's not my money after that.
Right. Amen. Right.
So, I mean, when the money hits the bank every week, I don't, you know, ask Ruth for an account of every dime she spent. I don't keep an account of every dime I spend.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
But I do know this, Ruth will give it to you.
Yeah.
And you just don't have to much worry about a person that's a giver. And there's something about it. Maybe if you're a lady here and you're not a giver, try to give some, because it opens up something in you, something about compassion and understanding for other people's situation that'll keep you from doing bad things in the future. Maybe you want to do it because you're a human and you're tempted to do bad things. But if you're a giver And once you give to people that have a need, it opens up that heart of compassion so that when you're about to do something wrong, the consequences of breaking people's hearts and the consequences of bringing a bad name on yourself are more real to you than they would be if you were a selfish person, never had any experience given. And see, husbands, that is one of the things that you don't realize that you're doing by putting so many restrictions on your wife. You don't know how much she's not learning by not being able to live a life. And then you, well, why don't you understand this and why don't you understand that? Because she's living with a second father. So you couldn't get past getting blasted. But if you survived being blasted for a service and a half, now you're getting some understanding. And I think that's the way it should be. If you can't take a whooping, you can't get the explanation. When I was a little boy, my mama whooped me for asking why. Do this. Why? Pow, 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 pow. After I learned to take a whooping, she started giving me some explanations. Amen. Undisciplined people ain't worthy of explanations. Well, we'll move on. You didn't know that. But anyway, verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. And boy, don't that, she's well dressed.
Yep. Yep.
She don't go to Walmart in her pajamas. Amen. Her husband is known in the gates when he said, have you noticed in this chapter the woman's working, the man sitting? She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth, she's in the marketplace. What a woman can do. I think you can read the rest of the chapter for yourself. I've run out of time. I'm not going to spend no time on it next week, but I think you see where the chapter's going, don't you? I think you see this if you don't see anything else. You husbands and wives can go home and you got some things to think about and talk about and talk about together. Amen? You'd be surprised how much better your house would be, how much more peaceful it'd be, how much more you'll feel, you both will feel like you have a life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you've been doing that all along, wonderful. I congratulate you. I really do. But consideration for one another. We're not talking about forsaking your responsibilities as a man or a woman. But we're talking about consideration of one another. We're talking about what you can do. What you decide to do be up to you. But you reap what you sow.
Amen.
You reap what you sow. Is there any bitterness there? If there is, you sowed it. Is there joy there? If there is, you sowed it. You live in your life between a husband and a wife and you got happiness and peace and joy, don't change a thing. Till God tells you to. Amen. But if there's a problem, look in this chapter. Study it. Look at it. Sit down. Talk about these things. Pray about these things together. See how it works out for you. If you do things God's way, it's going to work out good for you. Amen. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, these things are straightforward. And the opposing view has been put forward. In a straightforward and very stern way, a disciplinarian way, I should say. And Lord, so I return it in kind, but I do give scripture and I do have good reason, God, for preaching this sermon. And I pray with all my heart you'd help us to see that the Christian home is the thing that needs to be fixed. The Christian churches are the things that needs to be fixed. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us. Lord, I don't want to resign myself to the end times. We may be living in them, but I want to do right. And I want to be found faithful. And I want to be found a good steward of my home, of the things that pertain to the church. Lord, I want to be found doing right, not just holding on when you come. And I thank you and praise you for all that you do. Bless each home, God, in this church where the men, godly men and godly women are trying to do what's right for you and trying to do what's right for one another. Lord, those things are very important. And very important, God, for us to do what's right for you and to do what's right for one another. And I'll thank you and praise you. for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break.